You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, welcome into hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show, right here, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe off today. We'll be back tomorrow. We're live from the Omni downtown, Dr. Crannon Studio. Brando behind the board. Let's bring one of our good friends to the show, the great Terry McCormick from TitanInsider.com. Terry, good afternoon to you. Are you ready for the Bears, Terry?
I'm ready because it means it'll be the end of the preseason, so we can finally get to the regular season.
Oh, my goodness. We were talking earlier, and I don't know if you saw the email about the tickets for the Chris Johnson, the opening game, are $28, $5 donated to the ALS, which is fantastic. I've never seen ticket prices, Terry, that low for an opening game. Am I missing something with all this? Because usually I'm seeing ticket prices $300, $400, $500, sold-out game because it's the opening game. To me, this is a little alarming, a tad.
Yeah, I mean, it tells me the game's not a sellout. And, you know, look at it. I mean, you got two of the worst teams in the league from last year taking on each other. So, you know, it's not the most attractive matchup around the league. So I can certainly understand why it wouldn't be a sellout.
Well, you know, but Titans fans are pretty good. Opening games are usually sold out, and there's excitement. I just, reading that email, I was like, I don't want to say it was desperate, but it's kind of like, hey, we got these tickets, come down. I understand marketing. I just didn't think I'd see a ticket for a Titan game at $28.
Yeah, I mean, usually if you see one that low, it's on the aftermarket, you know, when they're playing out the string in December.
Right.
The Jaguars.
Absolutely, yeah, I get all that. All right, so the Bears are in town. And listen, Caleb Williams is a lot like Cam Ward, number one pick. You're putting the franchise around him. Terry, what do you think Cam Ward could learn from Caleb Williams?
That's a good question. I think Caleb Williams got better last year. Maybe it was the Bears' offensive line that got better, but Caleb Williams got a lot better last year. Look at the decrease in sack numbers that the Bears went from his rookie year in 2024 to last year. That's one of the major reasons that they went from, you know, last place into the playoffs. You know, it's one of the things that, you know, was a big turning point for them. And I think, you know, I don't know that Cam Ward is the same type of quarterback that Caleb Williams is in terms of, you know, just overall talent. You know, Caleb Williams was a guy that was very, very heralded coming out of Southern Cal his last year. And he was a guy that, you know, a lot of people said, this is the next superstar, you know. And, you know, whether you're tagged with that and live up to it or you're tagged with that and you don't, it's you know, it's something that gets thrown around a lot, you know, every few years. Cam Ward was not really that way. But I think what Cam Ward can learn from Caleb Williams is, you know, I think Caleb Williams grew up last year. I think he matured a little bit. I think what you want to see out of Cam Ward is maturing as a quarterback, you know, in terms of his decision-making and just how he plays the game overall.
Terry McCormick's on the line with us. Terry, when it comes to maturing and getting better, the Titans ones on the defense went up against the Seattle twos on Sunday, that big old run up the middle, and then there was that blown coverage that had Elijah Arroyo in for six. What needs to improve on the defensive side of the ball going into Chicago for this Bears game this weekend?
Well, I think some of it was just, you know, miscommunication, missed run fits, gap fits, and things like that, the things that sometimes happen in preseason. But that said, it was still pretty embarrassing against backups to be dominated like that on those couple of plays. You know, I think it's kind of back to the drawing board for these guys to, you know, kind of make amends for that, because, you know, you're now getting very close to the regular season. You're deciding who you're going to roll with and who you're going to let go. And the joint practice in this preseason game, you know, usually a lot of people regard the last preseason game as a throwaway game, but I think the Titans need to make some kind of statement. You know, they don't necessarily have to win the game because preseason games don't matter in that regard, but they need to give a better performance than they have in the first two games, where the first string unit going up against backups, both against the 49ers and Seahawks, were kind of lacking.
Yeah, how would you evaluate that, Terry, if that does happen on Saturday with the Titans, if they're playing their ones, kind of like how the narrative has been the entire preseason, Chicago thinks it's a throwaway game, and you know the Titans look fantastic, they put up 30 points. How would you evaluate that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, you know, I still think you would take that over another lackluster performance. You know, another sluggish performance from Cam Ward in the offense or defense giving up big plays and miscommunication in the secondary. I think you want to see the execution be there. You want to see them play good, crisp football. I don't care if they're lined up against Antioch High School. You want to see good, crisp football being played by this team as they head into the regular season.
Terry, you've covered this team for a long time. You know a lot of people inside that building, some that no longer with us, some are still in there and all that. So with that being said, I mean, you hear the grumblings. Are there little grumblings about Cam Ward and about his development and what he can and can't do?
Well, I think they're still – in the latter portions of the honeymoon phase because you've got a new coach and staff. You know, it's not the same coach and staff that tried to develop him last year. You've got Brian Daboll. You've got Shea Tierney. You've got Robert Saleh, you know, as headed over everything. And I think, you know, for that point, I think, you know, the honeymoon phase is still there. I think where the honeymoon phase is starting to wane is with the fan base, where they're not seeing market improvement from Cam on a consistent basis. They're seeing it once in a while, but they're not seeing it consistently. And that's been the thing that has really held the Titans back, not just with Cam, but over the years. I mean, think about it. How many times over the course of Marcus Mariota's career were people, the fans were really encouraged. They thought he was going to be the guy. And then, you know, then he would lull back and, you know, or he would get hurt. And it just didn't happen. And it was the same way with Vince Young. It was the same way with Jake Locker. And it was the same way with Will Levis. It was just, you would occasionally see flashes of, hey, this could be the guy. But then other times you go, what's going on here? It's not consistently improving.
I'm with you on all that. So, you know, the Jets game is happening on September the 13th. That's the one that's the, you know, you're worried about and all that. But what do we need to – do we need to see something from Cam Saturday, Terry, to kind of ease the concerns a little bit? Because, look, I think he's a fantastic quarterback. I watch him in college. I think he's got a heck of an arm. And I think at sometimes he's learned to go out on his own because he's had to prove out on his own that, you know, hey, I'm a quarterback. He got zero stars out of high school. Nobody believed in him. And everything he's gone out and got it himself. So is there a little bit of something we need to see from him on Saturday? It's like, all right, we're going to be okay. Or maybe we'll just wait to the first game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to see something out of him. I think you want to see, you know, not running out of the back of the pocket and fumbling the ball when he's under duress, or you want to see him set his feet the right way and make throws that are on time and catchable for the receivers, you know, and you want to see the receivers step up and help him out. I mean, let's be honest here, Joe. You know, when you look at this Titans offense, I think they've scored 2 touchdowns in the 2 preseason games. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
They scored on the very first drive with Cam Ward, and then they scored Sunday night with Will Levis.
Yes.
Both of those drives, what did they do? It wasn't the pass game that they got them down the field. It was the run game.
Right, yeah.
I think you want to see the pass game step up and contribute something in the scoring drives beyond what we've seen so far in the preseason.
Terry McCormick with TitansInsiders.com is on the line with us. Terry, when it comes to, you know, this team and the pass protection, we obviously haven't seen the best out of guys like Tajay Spears and Nick Singleton. Obviously, you don't want Tony Pollard back there pass blocking for Cam Ward in some cases. But one player that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in this conversation is Julius Chestnut. Obviously, you have Bones Fossil commenting high praise on him yesterday after practice. But also, he's been running the ball efficiently throughout the preseason. Where do you see him lying on this roster after all of this is said and done?
I think he probably makes the 53. I mean, I think, you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, you just can't keep. He's a survivor. You just can't count him out. You know, there are 5 players left that John Robinson drafted or signed on this roster. 5. And Julius Chestnut and Mason Kinsey are 2 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
The other 3 are Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker, and Morgan Cox.
Oh, my gosh. That, and he was here, 22 was his last year here. That's terrible.
Yes. Hey, there are only 12 left from when Rand Carthon was here.
Okay. That. And you wonder why you've won 6 games in 2 years. All right.
Try to skip a generation at that point. No, Terry, adding on to that, just for pass protection purposes, we haven't heard a lot from the offensive line. Seems like Dan Moore Jr. and J.C. Latham are maturing as those corner pieces to the left and right tackle of the offensive line. What have you liked out of their performances throughout the preseason?
I like what the first group has done, especially establishing the run. And I think, you know, when you can run the football, you keep a lot of the pressure off of your quarterback, because if you can get the 2nd and 5, 3rd and 2, you know, that's a whole lot more manageable for a quarterback when he has to throw it than if you're always in 2nd and 8, or if you have a penalty and you're in 1st and 15 and that sort of stuff. You know, you still see the backup linemen have struggles with that on occasion, but the starting offensive line has looked pretty good thus far. Not been a lot of penalties, and they've, you know, run blocked very well, and, you know, the pass protection's been pretty decent as well. I think Carmen Brasillo is getting what he can get out of these guys. I think the next step is just now you got to develop 3 or 4 guys who can be bench players, you know, in case one of those guys go down. Offensive line play is sort of like this, sort of like what I've always heard. It's sort of like umpiring and driving. If you're not talking about it, it's going good.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Kind of circling this conversation back to Cam Ward, when you look at just, and Joe mentioned this yesterday with Tim Hasselbeck, when you look at his pocket awareness and also the ball security aspect of that, how can Cam Ward improve on that level of his game?
Well, I think what he has to do is not be so quick to escape the pocket. I think, you know, the pockets he's had for the most part have been pretty good. You know, I think the line has held up pretty decently, and I think he's got to set his feet and make the throws. You know, I've heard, you know, if you watch some of the Kurt Warner video and his analysis of Cam Ward that he put out yesterday, a lot of that is spot on as to why he's having some of the problems he's having with accuracy and things like that, because he'll point his foot one way and try to throw the ball another way. And you know, Warner says, you know, he's got the arm talent to do that, but it would be so much better if he lined his feet up and pointed both of them at the target when he lets go of the ball.
Yeah, he's kind of treating it like a shortstop in baseball.
Exactly. And that's fine for when you're under duress, but when you take a 5-step drop and you're going to hit Wandale Robinson with a 6-yard pass, you know, you don't need to do all that. Just, you know, get your back foot in the ground, push off, and throw towards your target.
That's what we've talked about for 2 weeks. All right, Terry, I'm good with Will Levis. I've seen enough. I don't need to see him play Saturday. I'm done. It's Cam Ward, Trubisky. I don't think they should even waste snaps to Will Levis on Saturday.
Well, Joe, know this. There's two things. One, if they let Will Levis go, somebody will pick him up and he'll do really well there. I'm 100% convinced.
We know that, yes.
I'm 100% convinced that he still has the talent to be a decent quarterback in this league. And if the Titans move on from him, it will almost certainly happen. And two, and this is something you probably hadn't thought of, Joe, if you can't find a trade partner and you dump him on the waiver wire, the New York Jets quarterback room is not exactly the most robust in the league.
Right.
They could put in a claim for Will Levis and say, okay, spill your guts. Tell us what they're going to try to do to us.
Well, remember, there was a certain Titans draftee in 2018, the quarterback that they cut, and then the team they were playing the next week picked him up. Was that not Luke Falk?
I think it was.
And then the Dolphins picked him up, and Vrabel was asked about that, and he was kind of like, I don't care. They were basically like, I don't care. And that's when Matt LaFleur was offensive coordinator. They're like, I don't care. Basically, it's kind of like Luke didn't really comprehend the offense while he was here, so we're pretty sure he's not going to tell the Dolphins anything down there. But it's a good play, right?
Yeah, it is a good play. By the way, I've got a little something for you, Joe.
Okay.
Since you like NFL history, and you might want to, I don't know if John McClain knows this or not, because this is actually before his time too. But I was reading about this way back when the NFL and the AFL were merging when they agreed in 1966 to merge. There were a couple of sticking points because the Giants had the Jets in New York, and they did not want to share. They initially did not want to share the market. Same thing with the 49ers, didn't want to share the market with the Raiders. So the league was scrambling, looking for places to possibly move the Raiders and the Jets. The talk was that they would send the Raiders to Portland, Oregon, if they couldn't, if the Giants and 49ers wouldn't relent, and that the Jets would be sent to play in the brand new Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee. Can you imagine if that had happened?
Holy cow. No, that means Broadway Joe would have been Bill Street Joe.
Exactly.
Wow, I did not know. I mean, I knew that the Jets were originally called the Titans, and then they had to get the – didn't they have to do something to get the name from them when they came here?
It may have, or it may be that the league owns the copyright to the name.
Yeah, but that's interesting. Yeah, the Jets to the Liberty Bowl. Oh, and the Raiders in Portland, that would have never worked.
Yeah, but the 49ers, the Giants eventually relented and allowed those teams to stay in their market and share it with them. I read where the reason was the Giants owner at the time, Wellington Mara, he recognized that Joe Namath was one of the faces of the league and was very popular, and that he figured it would be better press for his team to share the market with the Jets rather than run the Jets and Namath out of town.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, that's exactly right. I still think right now that Joe Namath is the most important person that's ever played the game of professional football. There's not a doubt in my mind because of what he brought to New York and winning the Super Bowl and the AFL, NFL. He's the most – and Steve Green – what's the guy's name? Steve Greenberg on ESPN.
Mike Greenberg.
I agree. We had him on. He agrees as well that Joe Namath is the most important football player ever. You talk about Red Grange. I think Jim Brown's impactful. But I think at the same time, it is Joe Namath the most important.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, probably for different reasons, obviously, but probably impact-wise, sort of along the lines of how Jackie Robinson impacted baseball.
Yeah, I could see that very well.
Terry, last one for me real fast. When you mentioned Will Levis just there, how can Mike Borgonzi in this front office capitalize on players that are maybe not going to make the roster but also use them as potentially a trade piece with the waiver wire?
I think there may be a few guys that you could trade away. I mean, you know, Levis might have a little bit of trade value if somebody who's way down in the waiver claim wants to take a chance on him, if the Titans decide not to keep him. But the problem you got there is that the Colts are trying to get rid of Anthony Richardson. There's rumors that the Vikings are already trying to get rid of J.J. McCarthy. So there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks out there. And, you know, it may be harder to get something for him than it would have been otherwise.
That's interesting. I mean, it's always about the quarterback. At the end of the day, that's all we care about is the quarterback, right? That's it.
That's it.
All right, Terry, thank you. We appreciate you. Again, where can people find your coverage?
All right, go to TerryMC13 or go to MainStreetMedia.com.
There we go. Terry, thanks as always, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, have a good one.
All right, Terry McCormick, been covering this team a long time, so we value his opinion. Folks, ESPN has done something today that just came out an hour and a half ago that Dr. Crane and I are finding very bizarre. ESPN has done something. You want to hear this, because once you hear it, you'll be like, what in the world? Is this what we're talking about? That's all next. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel, right here on 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.